Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour. It's from True Love magazine called He's My Brother. Here's the story. When a 14-year-old girl gets pregnant, no matter what the circumstances, there's only one person to blame. Her mother, right? That's certainly what I always thought. Every time I watched a talk show about teenage girls getting pregnant, I always looked hard to the mother. And sure enough, in an hour's time, the audience generally finds that the girl's mother either worked too much, drank too much, or simply ignored her daughter. Thus, the unwanted pregnancy. Watching those shows always made me feel good. I realize now, because they reinforce the idea that I was a better mother than those pathetic women I saw on TV, pure and simple. Then it happened. My 14-year-old daughter, Kendra, got pregnant, and I was forced to face certain truths about my family and myself that would change our lives forever. When Kendra was 4, the unthinkable happened, an event that I knew would impact my daughter for many years. Her father, my husband, Max, was killed when a drunk driver crossed the center divide and crushed into him one rainy night on the highway. Kendra was devastated, completely filled with anguish. She had been Daddy's little girl. Now he was gone. Working through my own grief became secondary because of Kendra's reaction. She was simply inconsolable. Depression in a 4-year-old can only be helped with therapy, so that's what I did for my little girl. I took her into a therapist for an entire year to make sure she got through her first taste of grief in one piece. And she did, or at least that's what I thought at the time. I met Wayne Silsby one afternoon at Kendra's first t-ball game. At 5, Kendra was a tiny but eager hitter, full of the kind of bravado that can only belong to a very little player. Wayne was her coach. That first day, only 6 months after the death of her father, my little girl stepped up to the ball, put the bat on her shoulder, and then, watching Wayne, who stood in front of her, whack that ball so hard that it nearly reached second base. When Wayne cheered loudly, Kendra was so startled, she dropped her bat and ran crying to him. "She's a little anxious," I explained when I took my crying daughter from the coach's arms. "Her father died recently, and she's just getting back on her feet." Wayne, a tall, sandy-haired man, smiled and nodded. "I see," he said. His face was filled with concern for my daughter. "Would you like to try again? You were very good." "I was," Kendra asked. rubbing her nose with a chubby fist. "Yes, Mikey's next, and then Sarah, but you can go after her. Want to try again?" Kendra looked at me for a moment and then nodded eagerly. "Will you help me?" she asked her coach. "I would be delighted," Wayne said. In the years to come, I was to tell that story to everyone who asked about how Wayne and I had met. Kendra fell in love with him first. I always say, then it was my turn. Wayne would always blush at this, but it really was true. Kendra adored Wayne from the moment she met him and continued to look upon him as her protector. So when Wayne and I married about a year later, I felt like the luckiest woman in the world. After all, as a young widowed mother at 28, I'd been given another chance at love, and I jumped at it, thrilled at first, then just content, happy to be safe in a loving, good relationship. Unlike mine, Wayne's former spouse was still very much alive, though I never asked too many details about why their relationship had failed. I knew that they'd been married a very, very short time. Wayne did confide in me that he'd married Kirsten because he'd gotten her pregnant. Their son Kip lived with his mother in another state, but after we got married, talk began immediately about having Kip come live with us. I very much wanted this to happen. My husband and I had always wanted another child. Kip's mother seemed eager to have her son live with us about 3 months after we got married. Wayne was a little hesitant at first, but only because of Kendra and me. He wanted us to be certain that we didn't mind. "He's your son," I said. "I know I'm going to love him the minute I see him. I know Kendra will, too." Wayne looked a little doubtful, but that only made me redouble my efforts at making our little blended family work. Kendra was very excited when we went to the airport to pick up her new brother. From the very start, though, it was clear that although Kip didn't complain about being relocated to his father's house, he wasn't exactly thrilled to be with us, and he didn't at all care for the way Kendra wanted to hang on him all the time. On that first night, as she showed him her vast video collection in her bedroom, he said, "Those are baby movies. I like big kid shows." I was outside the room, so I couldn't see my little girl's face, but I could imagine it. She'd been anxious to show Kip her movies. For the first month or so that Kip was with us, he was polite to his father and me. "I hope he isn't hurting Kendra's feelings, Elisa, Wayne said to me one night as we were doing the dishes. "It's a big adjustment for him, Wayne," I said, loading the dishwasher. "You have to give him time." Wayne made an affirmative sound, but I could tell he wished that this melding of family would work out a little better than it was. I wasn't worried at all at that point. Our bad times were behind us all, I figured. Since Wayne was the athletics coach at the local grammar school, he could always be found tossing a football around or playing catch. One day, Kendra and Wayne came charging into the house after school, full of the good cheer of having won a softball game. "Mom," my 8-year-old cried, "we won, we won." I loved this about Kendra. She was so enthusiastic. She was all bone and sinew these days, jutting elbows and swinging pigtails. "I guess you won by a lot," I said, brushing her bangs out of her eyes. "We creamed them," she said. I wish I could have been there, I said, pouring juice for her. "But my boss is a slave driver." Kendra giggled. She loved to hear me talk about Mr. Curtis, my boss at the accounting firm. He was nothing close to a slave driver, but I loved to entertain her with tales of how he carried a whip and chair. "Did he use a gun to get your day started today?" she asked, giggling. Before I could answer, though, a new voice came from the doorway. "Who has a gun?" Both Kendra and I turned to look at Kip. At 11, he was a puffy, sloppy version of the little boy who'd first come to live with us. Mom's boss fires a gun every morning like they do at a track meet. Track meet? Kip asked. Oh, that's right, Kendra said, coolly leafing through a sports magazine. You've never been to a track meet. You don't even own a pair of sneakers. I do so. Kip, I said, maybe you should have an apple instead of those cookies, and maybe you should mind your own business. What did you say to your stepmother? Wayne asked, suddenly appearing. I started to wave a calming hand at him, but he ignored me. Go on up to your room, Kip. We need to talk. Wordlessly, Kip left the kitchen. Wayne followed him. Kendra sighed and looked up at me as soon as we were alone. You know what I think we should do, Mom? I shook my head. I think we should ask Wayne if he could send Blubber Boy back and get his real son to come live with us. She peeked through her bangs. I put my hand over my mouth to keep from laughing, but Kendra wasn't laughing. I'm sorry, Daddy, she said to Wayne. I shouldn't have said that. No, you shouldn't have, Wayne said. It was my fault, Wayne, I said. People who love one another shouldn't cause each other pain, he said. Kendra nodded, but she couldn't look up at Wayne. I knew she was sorry. She truly loved Wayne. Maybe you should go on up to your room now, Kendra, Wayne said gently. Okay, Kendra fairly whispered as she headed up the stairs. Wayne, I said the minute she was gone, you know how Kendra is. She loves a joke, and she thought that was going to be funny. I know, Wayne said, running a hand through his hair. I just wish I could say the same about Kip. He looked at me then, and I could see the pain in his eyes. He's just taking those dangerous steps toward adolescence, I said. It may be rough on us for a couple of years, but we'll make it. We're a family, after all. Wayne took my hands and smiled. I love you, he said. For the next several years, Kendra and Kip continued to be sparring partners, though Wayne and I refused to allow them to be downright mean to one another. We got used to listening to them bicker. Right after Kendra's 13th birthday, though, something happened that was so shocking, it was like a bolt out of the blue. I got pregnant. Wayne and I had dreamed of having a child together, but after we'd been married for more than 5 years, we'd both just figured that Kendra and Kip were going to be our only children. The baby will cry all night, Kendra growled when I told her the wonderful news. Are you afraid I'll stop loving you? I asked gently. No, she said, pulling away from me. But won't you have to spend all your time feeding it and changing its diapers? And yes, I will have to take care of the baby, but that doesn't mean that I won't still take care of you, too. She looked at me. What if it... She waved a hand in front of her and began again. What if he or she comes out looking like Kip? She slapped a palm to her lips to keep herself from laughing, but I didn't even smile. Kip is slimming down, I said, and he's got new friends. He's been spending a lot of time on the phone lately, probably calling phone sex lines, she said. Kendra, I think maybe he has a girlfriend. Kendra made a face and left the room. My pregnancy with Kendra had been so simple, I just assumed that I'd carry another child with the same case. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I did my best to be a good mother to both the children I already had. Trouble was, they didn't seem to notice how hard I was working. Sure, pregnancy hormones can wreak havoc. For my 36th birthday, deep into my pregnancy, I expected that Wayne would make something special for dinner and maybe buy a cake. With me sitting the entire time on the couch, they served me the meal I craved most during those last months, barbecued spare ribs and French fries. For dessert, there was my favorite chocolate cake and vanilla ice cream. I'm sorry I haven't been able to spend so much time with you lately, Mom, Kendra said. I smiled at her and then glanced at the boy who stood next to her. I suppose Eric had something to do with that. Eric was a classmate that Kendra was very sweet on. Kendra giggled and blushed. Clearly, he was trying to make a good impression on Kendra's mother. We just play baseball together, Kendra said. Eric's giving me pointers. A loud smirk from the corner of the room drew all of our attention. Kip sat in the wing chair farthest from me. He had his arms folded. Don't mind him, Kendra said to Eric. He just lost about 40 pounds, and I think his brain might have been mixed in with all that fat. Kendra, I said in a warning voice. Wayne took a seat beside me. Sorry, she muttered. Don't be sorry, Kip said, getting up from his seat. By then, at 16, he'd not only lost weight, but he'd grown taller than both his father and me. This is for you, Elise, he said that evening, handing me a small wrapped gift. Why, thank you, Kip. In the past, whenever it had been gift time for me, Wayne had always covered for his son. This was the first time that my stepson had actually given me a gift by himself. Open it, he said. Kendra, I noticed, had reached up and taken Eric's hand. Oh, it's beautiful, Kip. Thank you so much. It was a delicate silver twisted somehow into the shape of a hummingbird. You're welcome. I noticed he shot a look at Kendra, my daughter, who'd just given me a cute photo of herself in a handmade ceramic frame. But she looked somehow hurt. Look, honey, I said, handing the pin to her. A hummingbird, she said in a flat tone, looking up at Kip. Very nice, she said, handing it back to me. She didn't look at me, though. Her eyes... Okay, Wayne said then. How about more cake and ice cream for the young folks? It took Kendra and Kip a moment to reply, but Eric was ready for more right away. What about me? I asked. Or you just ate a ton, Wayne claimed, laughing. No, I corrected. I just weighed in at a ton. Wayne bent down and gave me a big hug. This has been the best birthday I've ever had, I said, choked with emotion. After that night, Eric almost became a member of the family. I didn't mind at all, since Kendra seemed so fond of him. The two of them often sat in front of the TV watching videos together. When baby Ethan finally joined our family, I was relieved that the difficult pregnancy was over and thrilled at the sight of the tiny boy whom Wayne and I had created together. So from the very first day we brought him home from the hospital, he cried unless he was held. I was so exhausted. I needed a lot of help. Wayne was wonderful, but he couldn't hold our newborn son every second of every day. He had to work, after all. And though I was able to take maternity leave, I had a hard time recovering from the delivery. All he does is scream, Kendra said. That's because he's getting used to being a new member of the world, Wayne said. Well, can't he get used to it in his room? Wayne seemed to consider that idea. I don't think any child should be alone and crying. That's because you're a wonderful father, I said. Kendra turned to look at me, her eyes round with surprise. Why would I want to do that? Because it's such a pleasant thing to do. Kendra sighed elaborately and fell into the chair. Rolling her eyes, she reached her arms out and allowed me to place Ethan in her arms. By then, he was a red-faced, screaming little bundle. Hold him in the crook of your arm. Then just put the nipple in his mouth. I could see Kendra was tense. Go ahead, I urged gently. Almost immediately, Ethan stopped crying and began to eat. See? Yeah, Kendra said, watching the bottle anxiously. I had the feeling she couldn't wait for it to be empty. So I guess he didn't melt your heart, I said, holding Ethan against my shoulder. Kendra made a dismissive noise and rolled her eyes. Can I leave now? She asked. I nodded and she was gone. Why did you make her do that? Wayne asked.
Two reasons, I said, rubbing Ethan's back. One, I was hoping that she'd fall in love with her little brother.
That might take a while, Wayne said. What was the second reason? Well, I want her to know what it's like to have a baby around, to hear him cry, to feel the weight of him in her arms. Wayne shook his head. Girls are getting pregnant in high school, I said. I don't think that will happen to Kendra, but I want her to see the possible end result of unprotected sex. Wayne studied me for a moment then. I nodded. It was true. I could have. Oh, I know. I missed a part. Okay. You could have just discussed that with her. I nodded. It was true. I could have. I know. But I thought that holding and feeling an actual baby might make the whole thing real to her. Wayne didn't reply. I should have spoken to my daughter in more direct terms about the dangers and implications of unprotected sex, but back then I saw Kendra as a little girl, just a little girl. Because Ethan was taking up so much of my time for the first 3 months of life, I was pretty much an absentee mother. More and more I was leaving the rearing of our two children to Wayne. He was happy to do the parenting. By the time Kendra's 14th birthday came around, Ethan was nearly 4 months old. Oh, he still needed to be held a lot and still wanted to eat frequently, but he was becoming a happier baby. We decided to have our usual family dinner for Kendra's birthday, complete with cake, ice cream, and party hats. I knew that my daughter had been missing me for the past few months, and I was anxious to get back in touch with her again. So I gave her something that I knew she would like. I gave her a hummingbird pin, very similar to the one that Kip had given me. I thought she'd be delighted. So when she opened the package and I saw a frown, I said, What is it, honey? Kendra looked hard at the pin. Nothing, Mom. I like it. It's really nice. Had Ethan not decided to take that moment to start screaming in his room, I might have drawn my daughter from the room full of men and brought her into the kitchen to talk privately with me. But that's not what happened. My newborn was calling for me, and I had to go to him. Feeding Ethan in his room, I could hear Eric and Kip and Wayne laughing and talking out in the living room. But I couldn't hear Kendra. That bothered me. Okay, now, Ethan, I said when I'd finished feeding him, you just go back to sleep. Ethan, his eyes barely open, burped loudly, then settled right down. By the time I got back into the living room, the gifts had been opened, and Kendra was standing in the doorway in the kitchen, having served ice cream and cake to her guests. I approached her from the rear and realized that my daughter had gained a little weight. Her hips had broadened, and her waist seemed thicker. Hey there, young lady. You're becoming a young lady despite the fact that I want you to stay a little girl. Slowly I released her and she turned to face me. I could see then that her face had actually gotten rounder. I want to be your little girl forever, Kendra said. I hugged her close. You always will be, feeling her cheek against my shoulder. You promise? She asked. I promise, I said, but then Ethan was fussing again. I had to turn away from her. Kendra had acted so strangely that evening. I thought she was going to love that pin. I said to Wayne, she admires mine every time I wear it. She's a teenager, Wayne said, turning onto his side. Along with me, my husband was seriously sleep-deprived. He'd taken on extra coaching duties at the high school. I hated to bother him, but who else could I turn to? Wayne, I want Kendra and I to become close again. Wayne muttered a sleepy reply. I'm going to take her out tomorrow after school. Maybe we'll have dinner together in a restaurant. You can take care of Kip and Ethan, right? Once again, Wayne mumbled an affirmative response. That night, I was awakened at 4, not by Ethan, but by my daughter, who was vomiting in the bathroom. For the next 2 days, Kendra continued to be sick. I was doing my best to keep her comfortable while seeing to Ethan. But he was up to his old tricks again, crying unless he was held. I was exhausted and a wreck. I made an appointment for Kendra to see Dr. Yanovitz tomorrow, I said to Wayne. Can you take her? The appointment is for 10. Wayne was silent for a moment. Do you really think she's that sick? He asked. I sighed. She's been kind of pasty and off her food for a while now, Wayne. You said that yourself. He nodded. Now, with this vomiting, I'm thinking she may have an ulcer. Wayne frowned. At her age? What else could it be? My husband nodded then and said, I'll take her. Don't worry. The next morning, as I bathe little Ethan, I chastised myself for not being a better mother. Sure, I had an infant. She'd obviously needed me these past months. Maybe that's why she possibly had an ulcer now. It was all my fault. The phone rang just after I put Ethan down. Glancing at the clock, I realized it was probably Wayne. Hello? Elise, we're on our way home. We have to talk. What is it? Wayne, what? But the line went dead. It's worse than an ulcer, I muttered as I paced the living room. The words cancer and terminal danced around my brain. Minutes later, Wayne pulled into the driveway and shut off the engine. I studied the faces of my loved ones. Kendra was crying. Wayne's face was granite. I didn't know what to expect. Honey, it'll be all right, I said. The minute Kendra came in the door, I swept her into my arms, but a second later she pulled away and headed for the stairs. I don't know
how this happened, he said. I just don't understand it. Tell me, I said softly. You have to tell me. Wayne looked at me with red-rimmed eyes. Kendra is pregnant. Pregnant, I thought. Did he say pregnant? His words, like bullets, hit my brain and shut me down for a moment. Elise, Wayne said, are you all right? I opened my eyes and shook my head. No, no, it can't be. Are you sure? I asked. Wayne nodded soberly and wiped a hand across his eyes. Dr. Janowitz is going to do an abortion, right? I asked, my mouth suddenly sand dry. Wayne shook his head. She's too far along. I stared at him, hating him at that moment. He had to be telling me lies. How could... This couldn't possibly be the truth. How could my 14-year-old daughter be several months pregnant without me knowing about it? Ethan chose that moment to begin screaming. Numbed, I stood and headed up the stairs. In the nursery, as I picked up my little boy, I could hear my daughter retching in the bathroom. Anger suddenly filled me. Anger directed at the person who had ruined our family. Eric, I said, holding Ethan against me as tears filled my eyes. If I thought my nights were sleepless because I had an infant with colic, after finding out about Kendra's pregnancy, sleep became something that I only recalled like a sweet dream. Elise, for God's sake, Wayne said one night after we'd gone to bed, would you please settle down? You're grinding your teeth so loud that I can't get to sleep. So what? I snapped. The great glacial wall I had come back to ever since learning about Kendra. So what? He asked. Oh, that's a question mark. Placing a hand on my shoulder. I'll tell you so what. I have to go to work in the morning. I have to make enough money to pay for our expanding household, I finished in a bitter voice. My husband's hand dropped from my shoulder. Whenever sleep did come for me during that time, I would wake from it with a start. Then I'd wonder for one instant what had disturbed me. Remembrance would always reach me like the remnants of a nightmare. During the first week, I practically sleepwalked through my life. Except for Ethan's screams, our home was as silent as a tomb. 10 days later, Eric's father returned from his business trip to Europe. Though I'd called his home several times, I'd never once spoken to anyone. Instead, I'd been forced to leave messages. Somehow, though, Wayne found out that Mr. Manolis was coming straight to our house on the evening of his return. I was anxiously anticipating this event. Mr. Manolis arrived at our door looking as angry as I felt and just as defiant. Come in, my genial husband said. I eyed him up and down, seeing that his son looked very much like him. Both of them had red hair. Despite myself, I imagined a red-haired grandchild, a baby that no one wanted. Have a seat, Mr. Manolis, Wayne said, gesturing to the couch. I sat in the wing chair, glaring at him. I don't need to have a seat, Mr. Manolis said, looking from Wayne to me. I'm just here to say one thing. My son is not the father of Kendra's child. The very words made my mouth bitter with bile. I swallowed hard. Mr. Manolis was not only a bitter man, he was a liar to boot.
I refolded my arms. My son has had absolutely no sexual encounters with your daughter, or anyone else's daughter, for that matter. So you'd better start looking around for another young man to pin the paternity rap on. Paternity rap? I cried. At nearly a foot shorter than him, I glared up at his frown. This is not about a paternity rap. This is about a child, a baby who's going to be born. The son or daughter of your son and my daughter. That's simply not true, he said, turning to look at Wayne. Haven't you been out of the country for the past few months? Wayne asked. Mr. Manilis nodded. Yes, but I speak with my son several times a week. And I've confronted him about this. He's never lied to you? I asked. You have a teenager who's never lied to you? Of course he has, he said, but I raised him well enough to know that he cannot lie about something this important, and I know that he wouldn't. Look, I understand how upset you must be. You'll be upset too, Mr. Manilis, when you accept the truth. He pressed his thin lips together and turned from me, heading to the door. When he got there, he paused long enough to say, I hope to hear nothing further from you about this. I'm sorry for your pain. Had Wayne not physically blocked my way, I know I would have lunged at the man. Settle down, Elise, Wayne said as Mr. Manilis escaped, getting into the shiny new sedan. He has to take responsibility for this, I cried, beating my fists. Elise, you have to get a hold of yourself, Wayne said. You're not helping anyone by behaving like this. How am I supposed to behave? I cried, feeling the now familiar feeling of my hysteria building inside of me. My daughter, my baby girl, is 14 and pregnant, and that man's son is the father. Wayne's mouth twitched the way it always did when he was hiding something from me. What? I asked, sitting up straight. What is it you want to say, Wayne? What? Wayne took a deep breath. Then he seemed to sag as he sat down on the couch. Elise, maybe it wasn't Eric. Have you ever thought of that? The hysteria that had only just begun to course through my veins exploded in full. Are you calling my daughter a tramp? I screeched, practically screaming. Are you saying she sleeps around? That the father could be anyone? Stop it, Wayne shouted suddenly. The tendons in his neck stood tout. Stop calling Kendra your daughter. Kendra is our daughter, our child. You don't mean that, I sobbed, feeling my heart pound. If you really loved Kendra, you would have gone after Eric's father and demanded that he face the truth. You would have stuck up for Kendra if she was a real daughter to you. So I've been taking it all these years, Wayne asked. Oh, I've been faking it? His eyebrows raised in stunned disbelief. And not very well at that, I said. Wayne buried his face in his hands. I thought I heard a muffled cry. I stalked out of the room, but I didn't let that stop me. From that night on, Wayne and I simply stopped talking. We slept side by side. We still ate at the same table, but we no longer spoke. No one did. Kendra refused to go to school. Kip appeared oblivious to the entire situation. He merely carried on with his daily life.
Other than showing up for a meal or two every now and then, he became like a specter to me. Ethan kept me alive during those difficult months through his, though his colic had returned in force and he spent a lot of time crying, I was glad to have him to tend to. Left to my own devices, I would probably have stayed in bed all day. The one thing I did during that time was contact a lawyer to see about suing Eric and his father, but I never got to see the lawyer. For when I spoke to the secretary to explain the situation, I became so emotional I wasn't able to continue. Then she asked the one question that completely stumped me. Has paternity been proven with a blood test? I hung up then, realizing that I had no real proof other than the certain knowledge that Kendra had been intimate with no one else. By the time Kendra was in her 7th month and Ethan was close to 6 months, my nights were my own. Stomach cramps no longer tormented my baby. I still didn't get much sleep. I'd lie in bed staring up at the ceiling. One night when I absolutely could not sleep, I stared at the clock. It was 2 a.m, more than 4 hours left before daylight. I got up, taking care not to disturb Wayne. Shuffling my feet into slippers, I pulled my robe around me and headed out the hall. Maybe it was time for me to get over my anger and talk to Kendra. She's still your little girl, a voice inside me said. She's scared and alone. She needs you. Padding down the hall, I passed the nursery, saw that Ethan was sound asleep. Then I continued on to Kendra's room. Pressing my ear to her door, I heard nothing. Wake her up, my voice said. Do it now, before it's too late. Let her know you still love her. Silently, I pushed her door open. Kendra, I whispered as I drew close. Honey, I'm sorry about the way I've been acting lately. Reaching her bed, I stretched my hand out and touched her shoulder. Honey, wake up, I said, turning on the lamp at her bedside. What's going on? Mom, is that you? Both those voices rang out at once, but there was only one face I saw when the light snapped on. Kip, I cried, pulling my robe close around me. Kip, wearing a t-shirt, was staring up at me, his eyes wide. Next to him in the bed was my daughter. Kendra, I asked, shaking my head as the bed suddenly burst into activity. Both young people were suddenly on their feet. Kendra, wearing an oversized t-shirt pulled on a robe, while Kip shoved his legs into the jeans that had been left on the floor. Mom, don't go jumping to any conclusions, Kendra said hastily. Conclusions? I echoed, tears streaming down my cheeks. My daughter and I stared at Kip, who was tucking his t-shirt hurriedly into the waist of his jeans. What is going on in here? I didn't turn around, even though I realized that Wayne had come into the room. What's going on in here? I said, wiping tears away. Wayne, is what's been going on in here? Oh, let me start over. Okay. I turned to face Wayne. Is what's been going on in here for quite some time, I suspect. Confusion filled Wayne's face as he darted looks from his son to my daughter. He looked almost comical in his pajamas. Mom, I wanted to tell you, Kendra said, rushing to fling her arms around me. But you've been so angry, she cried. I didn't hold her the way she held me. Are you saying, Wayne began, taking a step toward his son, Kip did you, I love Kendra, Kip said simply. Wayne and I groaned at the same time, and in the nursery, Ethan began to scream. No one slept that long night, spilling out all my frustration and anger into Kip. I went on for a full 5 minutes with Ethan in my arms, yelling at Kip. Kip, he said, Wayne said after he'd convinced me to shut up, I want you to know that I'm terribly disappointed in you. Kip, who'd hung his head during my tirade, looked up at his father. I didn't mean it to happen, he said in a soft voice. It just did. Ethan, who'd been asleep in my arms, jolted into awakening as I tensed and said, You did it to her, Kip. It's time to confess. Elise, please, this is a bad enough situation without you making it worse, Wayne said. You're older, Kip, I said. You may not have physically forced her, but you did convince Kendra to sleep with you. You had to have. He didn't. My gaze shifted to Kendra, who'd been sitting, staring down at her hands in her lap the entire time. Now, though, she looked right at me, and I saw for the first time that she was no longer my little girl. Mom, you remember when Kip gave you that hummingbird pin for your birthday? Yes, I remember. Kendra nodded, then shot a look at Kip. Well, that pin was really for me. Kip bought it for me because I admired it in a store window. And when he gave it to you, well, it just hurt me so much. That's when I knew I was in love with him, Kendra said quietly. I shook my head, but you two, you hated one another. You especially, Kip, you hated Kendra. Kip cleared his voice and said, That changed after a while. Apparently, I said. We started hanging out a little when she got to high school. He stopped and hugged his arms around his chest. But you're... Wayne began. We're not related, Dad, Kip said, looking up at his father, and it just happened. Kendra's been upset, Kip said. Sometimes at night I could hear her crying. I shook my head and looked at Wayne, waiting for him to say something. I'm sorry, Elise, Kip said. I know I've been a jerk to you all this time, but I was wrong. He looked right at me, raising his hand to silence me when I started to speak. I gave you a hard time because I hated the fact that you were a better mother than my own mom. This shouldn't have happened between Kendra and me, though. No matter what, I should have been stronger. Kendra deserves better because she's a good person. Again, he paused, but this time I didn't try to interrupt him. She's a good person because you're a good mother, Elise. You've always been a good mother. I just couldn't... He stopped then and looked down, frowning, shaking his head. Mom, you can't blame Kip, Kendra said. The first time, it was my idea. I shook my head and frowned. How could that possibly be? I was so hurt when he gave you that pin. I went to his room that night to tell him. Kendra started to cry softly as she shook her head. I didn't give it to her because I was mad that she brought Eric to the party. Kip burst out. I was jealous. Kendra ducked her head down,
waving a hand in front of her face. It was wrong, and it was all my fault. I looked at Wayne then. How long had it been since I'd really looked at him? How will we ever fix this, Wayne? I asked him. Can we fix it? Had I married an ordinary man, that question might have caused another round of arguing that could have ended what we had together. But Wayne was special. We're going to make it, he said simply, looking for a second at each one of us. He said, if we all want this family to survive, we will make it. We have to. 2 days before Christmas, on a snowy night, Kendra went into labor. It was terrible listening to my little girl scream and cry with pains she shouldn't have had to endure for many years to come. But she did it. Pregnancy had changed Kendra, and it had changed me too. As I held her hand in the delivery room, I recognized her for the young lady she'd become, not the little girl she once was. David Matthew Silsby was born after 14 hours of labor. Kip was in the delivery room with Kendra, and so was I. After David's birth, our family began to mend. I'd been so angry for so long, but Wayne made me realize that most of my anger had been misplaced right from the very start. You were disappointed and angry with yourself, Elise, he said. Wayne was right, of course. I'd always considered myself to be the perfect mother, and when my 14-year-old daughter became pregnant, it was really myself that I was so mad at. It took me a while to realize that, of course, but once I did, I was finally able to move on. Of course, my apologies to both Eric and Father were my first step in mending fences. Mr. Manilis was quite gracious, but I know it will take Eric longer to forgive me. That's okay, though. I'm willing to wait. Kip started college this fall. Despite the love he feels for his son and for Kendra, he decided on his own to go to school out of state. The day he left, I had a talk with him and told him how proud I was of his decision. I love Kendra, he told me that day, but I know she has some growing up to do, and I want to get out of the way and let her do it. David Matthew is the sweetest baby God ever created. All he does is eat, sleep, and look precious. Ethan, in the meantime, has roared into the terrible twos at full force. He's not a perfect little boy, but I'm not perfect either. It took me a long time to realize that, but I do at last. Okay, well, that's the end of that story. That was pretty unusual. And that is going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thank you so much for listening. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. Have a great week and take care. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.